Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Of the 12 rounds, I would say
11 rounds, I guess you would say 11 rounds, 2 minutes and, 49 seconds. And then for the last 10 to 20 seconds of that 12th round, he was trying to, you know, swing it out, swing for the fences, you know, go for broke when he didn't necessarily have to. And he ended up getting caught with one, and that made him sit back a little bit. And for some strange reason, this referee just went ahead and stepped on in, and it almost looked like he, like, stopped the fight. But that wasn't necessarily it. It ended up being that he thought it was the end of the fight. And as a result, he basically stopped the match 10 seconds earlier than it was supposed to cards anyway. And with that, Timothy Bradley scored the decision win over Jesse Vargas, giving Vargas his first professional loss there. And, of course, Vargas was not happy about that result, as he really thought that he had Timothy Bradley. But for most of the fight, Bradley was winning the fight. And you see, the cards were 116, 112, 117, 111, and 115, 112, with, you know, Bradley winning most of the rounds. At least he had an 8-4. Had a 9-3 on the scorecards. So Vargas didn't necessarily do that much, and I didn't necessarily expect him to get the win here against Bradley, because Bradley is a tough character. He's been tough since he was at 140 and even at 147. So, and he's faced the likes of, you know, Ruslan Provodnikov, and, you know, still was able to stay on his 2 feet. Face Manny Pacquiao and was able to stay on his 2 feet. Face Juanma Milwarquez and was able to stay on his 2 feet. So he's been good. All right, we got 317 coming in on the line. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Jamal Simmons calling from Indiana.
Hey, what's going on, Jamal? Still over there in Indianapolis, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, man. So, yeah, we were talking about this Bradley Vargas fight and how the ref basically said the end of the fight was 10 seconds earlier than it was supposed to be.
Oh, there's going to be some controversy. It was a good fight all in all, though.
Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, the way that Bradley was basically controlling it, this was almost looking like how Sergio Martinez was basically outboxing Little Chavez, and then Little Chavez scored that knockdown in the 12th round, but that wasn't enough. And this is almost similar to that.
Yeah.
So, and I was thinking that, you know, Bradley was able to do his little thing there, so he won that, like I said, the so-called WBO interim welterweight championship, as Floyd Mayweather is the real champion for the WBO. So we'll see what Bradley is able to do here in the future. I mean, we all know that Bradley isn't going to be able to face Mayweather, at least not now, because it's too soon. They can't do a quick turnaround and have Bradley fighting Floyd on September 12th. At least I don't think so. Like, what you think about that?
I agree. I'm a little under the weather today, man. Excuse me.
Gotcha.
But I definitely wanted to call in and support the show. I was hoping some of my colleagues from Boxing with the Brothers would call in again.
Yeah. I posted it on Facebook page. Yeah, that was a good one last week, man. We had a real good one last week, man. Real good one. So let's see if some of them could, you know, come back in and, you know, speak on a little bit on this fight and what's happening in the next couple of weeks, because we have, like, a little downtime next weekend since it's, July 4th. And then July 11th, they'll be picking up with one time fighting at the Sun Dome in Tampa on July 11th. So it'll be Yeah, he sure enough hasn't really been since he stepped up in competition. So this one here will be like, well, is he going to be able to take out, his opponent and see if that will be able to get him back on the speed as far as being his nickname or holding up to his name as one time.
Right. So, and remain relevant.
Basically remain relevant. I mean, even though he has a belt, it's like he's not necessarily relevant. And it's almost when other people mention him is when he's, in the spotlight. It's when other people mention him.
I'm gonna get off here and summon up some more brothers to call in like I did last week.
All right, that'll work, my man.
All right, man.
All right. So we got that fight going on next week with July 11th with Keith Thurman going up against Luis Collazo, and he's putting his WBA welterweight championship on the line on that. And doesn't seem like, people are keeping their eyes on that fight in particular. More about if he would be able to fight Errol Spence and the whole thing about Floyd Mayweather saying that he would like to see Spence fight either Keith Thurman or Sean Porter on the undercard of Floyd Mayweather's fight on September 12th. And, well, I do not expect Keith Thurman to have that quick of a turnaround to fight Errol Spence on September 12th. That's 8 weeks off. So I do not expect Keith Thurman to do it. But, I mean, since Errol Spence fought on the undercard for Sean Porter and Adrian Broner, both Porter and Errol Spence, came off with victories. So it wouldn't be, much of a surprise if that's the fight that's going to happen. It's not going to be no Broner Porter 2. We do not want to see that fight again. I don't care if it's a 143-pound limit or 146, or they could be any weight they want to. We really don't want to see that fight again because that was not a good fight at all. And it did not necessarily live up to the hype that it would have been. It wasn't like seeing Broner against Emmanuel Taylor. And it wasn't like, Porter facing Kell Brook or anything like that. So didn't necessarily live up to the expectations that it could have been. So we're going to see here what's going to happen with Errol Spence and see if he is going to be on that undercard for Floyd Mayweather's thing. Once again, a reminder here, at around 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, we are going to have the Freight Train, Travis Walker, call in live. And I'm going to interview him and ask him a few questions here a little bit. And then we'll see if we'll be able to open the lines up for a couple of questions from our callers that we have. So remember to tune in around 8 o'clock when we have Travis Walker call in for an interview. All right? So just bear with me for just one moment. Voice here. But like I said, this fight here last weekend was basically the biggest fight that we had on there. We also saw, like, in other unboxing news, we also saw or read that the son of Shane Mosley, Sugar Shane, was in the new movement that they had here. So we had that out there that it was on there for that people saw. And I was looking at pictures for him on Boxing Scene, and I'm telling you, he pretty much looks just like his dad, and he got the tattoos on him and everything. And I saw like one picture where he was throwing the right, and it almost looks absolutely similar to Sugar Shane throwing that right hand. So we see Shane Mosley out there. He was able to win by a technical knockout in one of these, in this thing that series they have here, BKB. So maybe in a couple of years here, we may see Shane Mosley Jr. is going to be a fighter that challenges for one of the championship belts, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. But that was something that was newsworthy that I ran into. Another thing is that they're trying to get one of these heavyweight championship fights put together, and I think they're trying to put Klitschko in there against Tyson Fury. That is what's going to happen, as the WBA has ordered a purse bid for Klitschko to fight his mandatory here, Tyson Fury, as Tyson Fury is the highest rated contender for that championship belt. So negotiate that, and it'll be Klitschko against Fury here later on this year. So we will not be able to see Klitschko going up against Deontay Wilder this year, which I kind of thought that was going to happen anyway, as I think Wilder is going to fight his mandatory while Klitschko is fighting Fury. So with that being said, you have Deontay Wilder, and Povetkin is probably going to go into negotiations pretty soon. To happen later on this year. I think that one of these fights is going to be in October this year, while the other one will be in November. And if Wilder and Klitschko win those fights, then we will see those two put together for basically the undisputed heavyweight championship, either April or May of 2016. So look out for that one there. So that's pretty much going to be in the near future. Also, we will be seeing if this fight between Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez will be official. A couple of weeks ago, the LA Times reported that the fight between Cotto and Canelo would be either on November 21st or November 28th of this year. They're still trying to get the other kinks in. Like I said, the actual date where this fight will be is going to be worked out in the next few weeks or so, probably in the next couple of months. Once that is put together, then it'll be official that those two will get it on. Also, we're not sure if it's going to be for the middleweight championship that Miguel Cotto has, as he held the WBC middleweight championship, and he had his fight against Daniel Gill on June 6th and was able to score the TKO victory there. And the WBC quote-unquote regular champion is, of course, Triple G. But when Miguel Cotto went up again on this fight against Daniel Gill, they had him, Daniel Gill, obligated to try to make 157 pounds at the weigh-in, which shockingly he was able to make. And when Miguel Cotto went to the scales, he was under the 154-pound limit, which is for super welterweight. So he was defending the middleweight championship, basically weighing in below the limit for super welterweight. Now, could basically be any weight you can and have a championship, you just can't be over the limit for that particular weight. So at 153.5 pounds or whatever he is at the weigh-in, he just cannot be over 160 or, yeah, over 160 pounds defending a middleweight belt. Otherwise, they strip him of it, which was the case for Nicholas Walters when he had a title fight that he was supposed to have, but he ended up being overweight, so the title was not on the line when he fought. Since he won, he wasn't able to retain the title because he was overweight. So here with Cotto and Canelo, is still trying to find out if it's going to be at the weight limit of 154 pounds or if it's going to be at middleweight around 160 pounds. But if it's at 160 pounds, the agreement is that if the WBC middleweight championship is on the line at 160, the winner of Cotto and Canelo will have to face Gennady Golovkin next year. And I did say that one of the fights that should be in May of next year, if Floyd Mayweather retires after September, is if Canelo beats Cotto, he should be able to face Golovkin in May for the middleweight championship. But we don't think that Oscar De La Hoya is going to allow that to happen. So probably will not see Gennady Golovkin fight either Cotto or Canelo next year, depending on who wins, because Cotto is guaranteed to drop the belt if he beats Canelo. Canelo wins. It's already been said by Oscar De La Hoya that he will not face Gennady Golovkin until 2017, if that. So with that already being said by Canelo's main guy, that big fight between either Cotto and Golovkin or Canelo and Golovkin will not happen next year. So that's going to be a definite minus sign for Gennady Golovkin in the near future. Quick side note here. Y'all be sure to check out the website, thechtonsports.com. Once again, thechtonsports.com. We have a good team of columnists on there talking about every sport, NBA, NFL, college football, boxing, which is basically me writing articles on boxing, fitness tips. We have NASCAR racing articles on there. Pretty much everything in sports is right there on thechtonsports.com. Once again, thechtonsports.com. So make sure that you visit that site right there. On a quick note, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on a quick break, and then we will get back on here, and then we should soon have Travis Freight Train Walker on the line. So bear with me for a moment as we'll run through a couple of commercials here right quick. The Cohort Truth on Sports, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Executioner, Matthew Long, talks about different topics in sports, which include football, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, and more. The Executioner also invites special guests to talk about different topics within the sports world. So be sure that you catch the Cold Hard Truth on Sports every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcell Mathis and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch the callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up.
You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestone Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcasting Network. Better than diamond ring. That's why we're
here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
All right, we're back here on the Boxing Source Radio Show, live on the MRN Broadcasting Channel here on Blog Talk Radio. And what you just heard is two commercials from our sister shows. Number one, we have the CHTV Cold Hard Truth on Sports. That is every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on this network. And also at Wednesday nights at 8:30, we have the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show, Wednesday nights on 8:30 here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. We're coming in here live. We got 813-758 on the line coming up here in a moment here. Hold on just a second. All right, here we go. 813-758. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, James? This is Terrell from Florida. I just tuned in, so go ahead with your discussion since I just missed everything, what was going on. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, on the first little segment here, you know, I talked a little bit about the fight between Timothy Bradley and Jesse Vargas for the interim WBO welterweight championship and how the ref basically stopped the fight about 10 seconds early, and that was like a whole little fiasco there that they had. So they ended up still going to the scorecards, and Bradley got the unanimous decision as he basically controlled the pace of the fight from start to finish. He got a 8-4 score and a 9-3 score from another judge. And another one had it, I think it was like 115, 111 or something like that. So it was that last scorecard was a little bit closer than it really should have been. But Timothy Bradley basically controlled the whole fight there. That was my take on it. What did you think about it if you caught it?
Yeah, actually, I have not seen this fight yet. I will watch that this week, but I did read about it. And just I read a source from two different websites, so I get a good perspective and not just one view of it. But I was actually very glad to see, first of all, that Bradley did win the fight. Because, you know, for one thing that he did, his trainer took him back to his old-school training methods, tire flipping. He incorporated meat back into his training diet, stuff like that. So they basically went old-school for them. So what I read about the fact that basically Bradley took the fight to Vargas, and Vargas was practically ineffective as far as power shots, as far as holding Bradley at bay and things like that. I was very glad to hear that Bradley stopped his won the fight, first of all, like I said, but kudos to Bradley, all the hard work, dedication, all that stuff. I saw the scores and everything. Like I said, one judge definitely had that closer than what I thought it should have been, according to what I've read. Can't wait to see this. Hopefully be on HBO on the go, hopefully tonight maybe. If so, I'll definitely catch it tonight.
Yeah, probably will be. Yeah, it probably will be. But we'll see if we can talk about that real quick. But right now I have on the line the guest that we have scheduled on the show. He is a heavyweight out there on the scene, and I would say that he was the He was the man over at Rickards High School in Tallahassee, Florida. I'd like to introduce y'all, Travis Freight Train Walker. What's going on?
What's going on? What's going on? I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. We tried to get you on there last week, but we had some little difficulties. So we're going to get you here this week, and we got you on here live.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and the other thing was, like you said, you had your birthday earlier this week, so I know you did it big over there too, right?
I did. I actually went down to Fort Lauderdale and spent some time with my homeboys, and, yeah, we celebrated a little bit. Celebrate life.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So the first thing I wanted to do was, you know, try to get your, you know, how you basically started off in boxing because, you know, I knew you from high school and all of that and, you know, getting tore up in those machine gun drills when I was in junior varsity, you were in varsity and I had to go up against
y'all, right.
You know what I'm saying? And you went from football to boxing. So you can talk a little bit on that for us right quick.
Yeah, well, after football didn't work out for me, I wanted to find another way to take my life in another direction because I was going from endless job to endless job, and I decided I wanted to do something with my life, do something positive with my life. So I went back up to Rickards, and I asked Alonzo Johnson, Coach Johnson, could I come to the gym because I was interested in boxing. And he told me, gym open between Monday and Friday, 5 to 8. I said, okay, well, do you mind if I come through? Gym open between Monday and Friday, 5 to 8. So I came in, and, man, it was the best workout ever, man, so I just fell in love with it.
Yeah, no doubt. True. As I know, we've had a few people that, you know, ended up being in the gyms over there in Tallahassee. I mean, they had you, we had... You know, Tavares
Robert
came from our school over there. We had
a
couple of other prospects that, you know, ended up being in that boxing gym. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you were able to get your beginnings in that gym and then started on the professional circuit at heavyweight. You basically, you know, came on in the heavyweight scene. So we see you, you know, up there against a good prospect. So I try to get into see what you were – what's your, you know, best moment as far as, like, coming up in the heavyweight ranks?
My best moment was actually my first two rounds, my performance with Chris Ariola on HBO. Until I got – well, I saw Everlast Magazine had a real clear shot when I got hit in the back of the head and my equilibrium was off. But the beginning of that fight, I had it won, man, until, you know, I guess my equilibrium got off or I got tired or whatever it was. It just wasn't my time. So, to me, that was my best moment. And then from there, man, my first title that I won when I fought George Garcia. And my first title, I was able to bring it home to Tallahassee, man, the first belt ever came out of Tallahassee. So that was really big for me. That was a real big moment for me.
Yeah, that was. I mean, I know a lot of people there, you know, in the Tallahassee area, really proud of you and things like that. Because whether it was like, you know, high school football teammates that you had in there, close friends
right.
that you had at Rickards High School, you know, were out there, you know, supporting you, giving all the love to you out there, man.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about Tallahassee, man. Even to this day, I could go home and everybody's still showing me a lot of love. Everybody's still asking me questions and praying for me and just hoping I do well in life, man.
Yeah, my man.
So it's always a good feeling to go home.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I wanted to touch on, one of those things where you won a title, man. I mean, you had, one fight here in 2008 where you had the rematch against T.J. Wilson for one of the NABF heavyweight championships. And there you basically, you know, had the second fight against him because it kind of like seemed like they kind of stopped that first one a little bit too early.
Yeah.
So So
yeah.
So you were able to get back at him on February of 2008. So you could touch on that too, as far as like winning that NABF heavyweight championship.
Man, that was great, man. That was really good for me, because that put me in a place where I was a name in America, and I will always be in the books in America with that title. So that was big for me, knowing that I made history again. That title is the prestige American title. That's the best American title you can get, my thoughts.
Right.
And, yeah, so having that was very big for me and my career. And it gave me a shot at the number one spot for the world title. And when I won that title, that put me number five in the world as a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was big for me too. Yeah. So that title moved me up and up, you know, in my career. Gave me a lot of open doors.
Yeah, it did. So, we'd like to see if we could, you know, fast forward here a little bit, because I know that, you know, initially when we first talked about something here, this is like, you were saying, like, you really wanted to get on here because you were trying to, you know, get back on the scene here and,
right,
and stuff like that. So we're trying to see, like, what your future plans are as far as, like, the heavyweight scene is concerned.
Well, yeah, man, I've been in the gym ever since, what, beginning of March? And I got in some really good shape. I've been sparring with some of the elite heavyweights that's out there right now, American heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sparring with Brian Jennings and Dante Wilder. And these guys, and I feel really good sparring with these guys, working with these guys. I'm helping them learn. They're helping me learn at the same time, even though they're younger. They're still, you know, if you're not learning boxing, man, you need to retire. But I was still learning with these guys, man. So I felt good working with them. And I need to take another shot at it, man. I really feel like I focused myself again. I lost a lot of focus in boxing because of the way some of my fights went, when really I felt like a lot of my fights were being taken from me at the beginning of my career. So
right.
I wasn't as focused as I was because I didn't have the same faith in in boxing as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I understand the business a lot more, I know how to take my position instead of letting my position come to me.
Right.
And
one
of the things that my pastor said to me, my pastor is, he's somebody I really look up to. And he asked me, he said, Travis, are you okay with okay? And I had to think about that for a minute, man, because for a minute I've really been okay with okay. Okay is not, you always want to be better with better than okay. Think about the guy who invented beepers. If everybody was just okay with beepers, we wouldn't have these smartphones.
Right.
So don't just be okay with okay. Always look for something better. So I had to focus, I had to refocus myself, and I had to work hard to get where I needed to be mentally. And I done arrived to that spot, so now I'm ready to take over the heavyweight division again.
Gotcha. Yeah, I see that, you know, Deontay and Brian Jennings to give you different looks. Is, you know, those guys are able to go through the Olympics and go through those Olympic rules and things like that. So they kind of had to learn a little bit through, you know, amateur ranks and then going into professional. So they give, like, a whole different viewpoint of how to, you know, fight and give you different skills and what to use in the ring and things like that. But I'm going to see here if I'm going to open the lines here for our other guests that are called in here. Terrell is back on the line, and then I'm going to bring in 813-784. So, first off, Terrell, if you have any questions for the freight train here.
Yeah, I would say my first question to you is, and just saying what's up, fellow Floridian and all that, you know.
Thank you.
How do you get back into the ranking system as far as where you rank that right now? Do you need to look forward to try to get a NABO title first? How do you rise back up?
Well, what you have to do right now, since I don't have a promoter, is I have to put my name back in there, back out there, that I'm ready to take a fight. So then the matchmakers will talk with the promoters, and someone will try to, a fighter will try to take me on. So my job is to beat that fighter. I beat that fighter, my name start rising back in the rankings, and I just keep winning. As long as you keep winning, the better your chance of getting bigger and better fights. And with me already having the name that I got, it won't take long for me to get back up in the rankings.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, we got 813-784 on the line. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Matt, Puerto Rico. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. All right,
there, Matt.
Going good. I wanted to just ask you a question. I ask everybody that James has on for a guest, as well as anybody I ever interview regarding boxing. It's a two-part question. Where do you see the future of boxing in America going? And what does it take to get back to where it was at its center?
It takes a... The boxing, it just takes I think we need a real strong heavyweight that can hold the title. And that'll bring other weight classes and more fights back to America. And especially we can get the fans to start supporting more. Because this is the only country that another fighter could come from another country and the fighter from America is going to get booed. This is the only country. We just need better fans. The real fans.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty sad to me. And you can have a fighter who fought for the Olympics and everything, and he would still get booed. He done fought for your country, representing your country, and you still booing for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand some of these boxing fans or the boxing. I think most of them don't really be fans. They just be people who trying to watch boxing.
Well, I mean, yeah, before you, get on that second part about, seeing if the boxing scene, how can it get back to like it was in the 70s and 80s, you really hit it on the nail there with that because, on other shows that I've had earlier, we've often said that, America's fans don't really support America's fighters. And that, like I said, even if they've gone through the Olympics, won gold medals, like, for example, Floyd Mayweather won a medal, gold medal. You got Deontay Wilder out there. That was an Olympian. Antonio Tarver was an Olympian. And, a lot of those people, a lot of those fighters don't really have a big fan base. And you can't necessarily compare that to somebody that's tied to Puerto Rico like Miguel Cotto was or Tito Trinidad was or anybody that's coming from England where you had Ricky Hatton and Hatton had a bunch of fans for his fight against Floyd Mayweather that just chanted his name through the whole fight. But when it's somebody like a Floyd Mayweather or Shane Mosley or, Antonio Tarver or Roy Jones or yourself or now Deontay Wilder, you still don't have the people supporting those guys in mass like, these other guys where you'd have a Sergio Martinez or Marcos Maidana from Argentina or, anybody like I said or other people that are out of the country that get a lot of support
And that's why the fights don't come to America because we don't have the fan base.
Right.
That's why they're sending those fights over there because the fan base is over there. The money is over there. The TV is going to go where the money is. And the promoters, they're gonna promote where the money is. That's the game. It's a business.
Definitely. That's how it is. That's why, you'll get a lot of fights that could be in Germany, like for Klitschko. A lot of his fights are in his home because of the money. Or if it could be in England, like in Manchester or, Wembley Stadium, where you have, where you have my guy that fought George Groves last year that he talked about. or have, you know, Amir Khan there and Kell Brook there fighting in England. You know what I'm saying? So we have that going on. We got another caller in here, 336-327, coming in live here. So what's going on?
What's going on, Jeffy?
Yeah, chilling there, Greg, man. We got, you know, Freight Train here on the line with us.
How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing, bro? Doing okay?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Loving life.
Good, good, good. What you think about the fights last night?
Which fight?
Bradley.
Are you able to catch the Bradley Vargas yesterday?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was actually in a bad location. I wasn't in. I wasn't at my home.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, man. That little thing there with Bradley and Vargas was wild there a little bit, man. So, you know, if you can,
fight,
you can catch it a little bit.
I would definitely check it out tonight because I'm actually back home, so I could see it tonight.
Yeah, true.
It was a bad fight, the judging, or what?
Well, what happened was the referee kind of stopped the fight 10 seconds earlier than the actual end of the 12th round. So it almost kind of looked like he stopped the fight for a fighter because Timothy Bradley was in trouble. He kind of got hit with a good punch that set him back a little bit. And either he was going to be knocked down, score a knockdown, or he was going to be clinching Vargas, but the referee just stepped in and just ended the round too early. But
I really hate that. That's one of the things that made me turn away from boxing, man. Made me lose a lot of focus towards boxing because you're a fighter and you're in the ring, you putting your life on the line, and they treating it like it's nothing.
Yeah,
it's all about money for them, but it's a lifeline for us.
Right.
Yeah. But but before we go to another question here, right quick, Matt like asked that question about, you know, what will it take for, you know, boxing in general to get back to the wide world of sports days in the 70s and 80s. So if you wanted to, you could touch on that too.
Me?
Yeah.
It's gonna take the support from Americans. That's the biggest thing I can say. It's gonna take the support from Americans. And if we don't have a fan base, if we don't have a real fan base, and no one to really get behind, that's how it's gonna be. Like Floyd is the best boxer to me, but Manny Pacquiao had the fans. And even in his country, even in America, Manny Pacquiao still had all the fans.
Yeah, that's true.
So if that's how it's going to be, I mean, the boxer is going to go wherever the fighter is, wherever the fighter who has the fans.
True.
Well, see, my thing with that, and my opinion of that right there, we need to take it back to the way it once was, like in the 60s and 70s. I mean, like, if we go back to the Sugar Ray Robinson or Joe Louis thing, I mean, we supported our fighters, right?
Right,
it was
right.
Enough that they, I mean, it was enough that everybody else was pulling against them. It was us against, like, the world. Nowadays, I mean, and I ain't trying to make it like no certain national whatever color you are, I ain't trying to make it that. But Americans won't even support American fighters. I mean, I think that's crazy. Okay, when you watch Ricky Hatton or somebody like that, when they would come over here to fight, man, them boys would cross the pond. They had their biggest supporters like they were in a soccer stadium, right?
Right. Yeah.
When Floyd fight, when Floyd fight, man, they fight. You got more Americans that want him to lose than anybody. And,
right.
And to me, I think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. I mean, boxing is big. It's a world sport. But other countries follow their fighters. If it's an Argentinian guy fighter, all the Argentinians behind him. We got to start supporting our own. The moment we start supporting our own, it's going to only put boxing in a bigger and better place, especially for us in the States, because we shouldn't go to a Florida fight. And I understand the fights cost a lot of money, and if you don't have the money to go, but it's like, it's pro whoever he's fighting. There's a small percentage of people in there that's rooting for Floyd, but it's 95 to 90% they rooting for the other guy. You know, I mean, that's pretty much unheard of.
Yeah, that's true. That's the sad part about boxing with America.
Until
we find some real fans.
Yeah, I was just saying, Matt, you're on the line here, right quick. I heard some background noise, that's why I had put you on mute there, right
yeah.
quick. But you're pretty much good right now.
All right, I gave a lot of thought about this. I've been working on an article on this for like 4 months, but I just can't seem to finish it right. I just can't. There's verbiage that I just can't find. But the problem isn't necessarily finding good fans. It's finding casual fans that will give up the time from other sports to watch boxing. The problem is with Floyd Mayweather is he's not entertaining to watch for the casual fan. He's a very boring watch, you know. He is getting the money he gets, one, because he is a tremendous boxer and he wins. I don't think there's anybody in 157, 154, or anywhere within 5 pounds around there that really could beat him, in my opinion. But on the same token, he's more of a reality TV star to get the people to watch the fight. That's where he gets the bang from the fight. Thing is, guys at that weight class, and, you know, not a knock on any of those fighters because they're great. I mean, some of the best fights that I've covered or watched, I mean, I was watching the lightweight fight, the Felix Verdejo fight. That was a tremendous fight. He knocked him out in the fifth round. It's always nice to see people get knocked out. But that takes me to the next point. People like to see heavyweights because at any point in time, somebody can get knocked the hell out. And that's entertaining to people. That's why people turn to MMA. MMA got watered down. People aren't watching as much anymore. It's because UFC doesn't promote the individual fighters like boxing did. So you can get a fan base behind a boxer, one, because they have the promotion, two, because they have a longer shelf life than an MMA fighter. So there's everything there. I think that what they need to do is they need to focus on signifying three belts, just three belts. That is to say, these are really the legit belts, and let's just focus on these. You can have this other stuff, it's, you know, but just say these three belts are really what matters, at least to the lay fan. So this way you have this greater understanding of that. It simplify it, open up to more media members, and make it more accessible to fans than it already is. I think that's really what it is. That's the big thing it's missing.
Well, I think that's pretty much possible. And the thing about it is that, yeah, you can have three belts, but even if you have those three belts on the line, then you have those other boxing organizations that will basically be defunct, like the IBF, the IBO, NABF,
yeah.
The NABO, and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you take those out, then you kind of like say,
well,
these
I'm
guys
them out. I'm just saying, people. I'm just saying, like, maybe it's more of a media thing. Maybe more the media needs to take its part in it, because the media does a lot to help sports, but I don't think they do the right stuff in certain occasions. If they want to get more fans to boxing, they just have to say, put more emphasis on these three belts. These, you know, the WBC, that's up there, you know. So we say WBC, you know, any of those three. And
yeah, we'll see.
I think as far as Americans, is getting like two, three, maybe four heavyweights that are all legit. Because if we look back to when America really watched boxing, there were several heavyweight boxers that were in the limelight. So
yeah, this,
I think that's the other part of it.
Yeah.
I agree to a certain extent. Another thing that I think that Herb Foster, especially like in the States, is if you look at every other sport, ESPN is talking about every other sport daily, right? The only time they talk about boxing is when there's a big fight. If it's not a big fight, you don't really see any news on boxing. So therefore, the casual fans, they really don't have a chance to pick it up. The only time the casual fan pick it up is when ESPN and the pay-per-view commercials is bringing them to the screen.
Yeah, that's true. Hey Travis, can you touch on that a little bit? And then I got a follow-up question with the whole thing that Matt said and what we were talking about. So you want to follow up on that or respond to it?
Yeah, because once again, it's because you don't have any real fans. Let's say they try to open up more boxing for us now with, NBC?
Right,
yeah. That was what I was going to ask about, too. That's what I was going to ask about was the fighting that's on NBC right now.
Yeah, I'm very happy they did that because that's going to give more shows and that people can watch that doesn't have HBO or Showtime. Mm-hmm. And that would actually bring more fans to American boxers because they can actually watch it. See, back in the day when I think Mike Tyson was fighting, that's around the last time they were doing shows on regular cable.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm very happy they bring it back. And we have, we have a sports center that has boxing, but it's on Friday night fights. And then Friday night fights is, Friday night is Friday night. There's a lot of people trying to do other things and watch boxing. So that's also a bad night.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to NBC, who does it on what, Thursday night?
They do it on Saturday nights at 8:30, but,
okay.
Around this time now was a great time for them to start it because Saturday night you don't have any football on. So March through August, you don't have any college football on then. So that could be when people can focus on watching boxing on regular TV.
Right.
All right, we got like about, I'd say, 2 minutes left on the live show. So if people wanted to call in, it was 347-237-5539. And then we're going to have just a little bit of overtime here. And we're going to close it off a little bit early, probably at about, 8:45 or something like that. But, yeah, going back to this whole thing with Premier Boxing Champions. It started off on NBC, then it expanded. Now you were able to see, fighters on CBS. You saw the Ghost Guerrero on CBS. You saw Adonis Stevenson on CBS. And then, now they're going to have Premier Boxing Champions on ESPN now. I think they have, the Keith Thurman fight is going to be on ESPN. And then Danny Garcia going up against Pauly Malignaggi will also be on ESPN on August 1st. So, they're able to expand that market, that TV market, to bring up more of those fans in from America.
Right. And then, the money is so much more in the other countries. So there's a lot of fighters who got to go to these other countries to take these fights that they don't have a chance of winning unless they knock the person out.
Right.
Yeah. So it looks like we're about to, go into the overtime session here. And, basically have, if any of the other guests here have one more question, y'all could, ask Travis Walker here. And then we're just going to go through, a couple more news things that we have, close the show off. So, Greg, you got another question for him?
What are you doing now in the sport? Is there any way that you still feel like you give back, are you doing any local gyms, helping kids out? Where are you at right now?
Actually, I am in the process of opening a non-profit organization for young kids to to spend time in the gym and work out, and hopefully we can find some real fighters out of this and get some of these kids off the street. And
yeah.
I'm actually going to do a blog with a bunch of videos of me working out, getting back in to this boxing game.
Okay. You know, what's the – do you have the web address for that blog?
I do not. Actually, everything is going to get worked out this week.
Okay.
So I should definitely come back on next week or whenever we have time, and I'll let you know everything again.
All right, no doubt, man. You're always welcome to call back in and, you know, talk about the blog and everything like that. And
appreciate that.
You know, about that program that you're starting up for the kids out there, because, I mean, I know, like, in Tallahassee, we got a few people trying to start up programs, you know, over there for the stuff that's been going on over there for the past few months or so, because it's, you know, it's really, really not been, you know, that good out there. So, you know, we have a few programs that we're trying to do out there for the kids, and those are elementary school, middle school, and high school, so they ain't out there on the street, you know, trying to get in trouble and everything like that, you know.
Right.
So yeah, we'll
the big
definitely
thing about Tallahassee is when I first got started, we were the only gym. And when Alonzo first started opening, he had a really small gym at his house. And now it's about four or five gyms in Tallahassee, the boxing gym. So that's beautiful. That shows a lot of respect for what me, Tavares, and Robbie Davis did. Me, Tavares, Clyde, and Robbie Davis did for the city.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Robert Davis when he was coming up there, you know, doing the boxing thing too. So that was like one of the first ones that basically tried to do it there.
He's the first one that really did it in Tallahassee. Robert Davis was the first one, Tavares Clyde, and I followed those guys. And if it weren't for those guys, it's a lot that I wouldn't have learned in boxing.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Matt, all right. Matt, I'm trying to get you back on here in a minute there. So, Matt, you got, like, another question there for Travis?
I don't have any other questions, but, you know, if he needs to get that blog out, you know, I'm sure you could wrap it up about that.
Yeah, I'm actually going to start the blog this week, so I'm gonna go in the gym. I got a cameraman coming to the gym, and we're setting everything up all this week.
All right. When you said the wheels in my brain started turning, so.
Because Travis, we got the whole little blog thing here, too, because, you know, the website here, that Matt is the guy that's the one that started the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. So he was the one that started the radio show here on Blog Talk Radio, and then did a website, the CHCOnSports.com, and, you know, I started to pitch in the write columns about boxing, and then, you know, he just opened the door for me to have a radio show here for boxing, and, you know, now here I am about 6 or 7 weeks after starting the first show.
Okay. Well, the boxing world would definitely appreciate this right here, because we definitely need it, because if we get the word out about boxing and everything that's going on, the best way we can get it done, the best way to get it done.
You know, it's just commenting it on my show on Tuesday. This show on MRN has been the top listener-based show over the last month and a half.
Oh, wow.
And more people have listened to the Boxing Source than the other shows on our network. So it's nice to see that a lot of boxing fans and a lot of support for the show. I know James puts in a lot of time and effort into, you know, getting quality guests and making sure that he has good content, and people always come with good questions and everything. So it's been a wonderful thing for basically since his second show. It's been the top show over the last, like I said, about a month and a half. So.
Okay, well, we're very happy that you guys are putting that on. That's hard work and dedication.
You know, it's had a, you know, put my effort in as far as promoting the show, and getting on out there in the social networks, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and that type of stuff. Like I said, you see me, you know, promoting the show. So I'll try to get on in there, you know, have people listen in and call in and, you know, talk about the sport. You know, and that's pretty much all it is. I kind of like, you know, I kind of like open the door for, you know, guests to come in. I mean, you know, my friend Greg over here, we've been, you know, talking boxing since, you know, a couple of years ago. So, you know, I had to put him onto the show, and he's been a, you know, regular caller here since basically the beginning of the show, and he's been a great contributor to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Matt comes in, and he's able to, you know, give people, you know, give my guests a rundown and his questions, and he's right there, and he's on point with his questions too, because he's basically a good journalist, man, and he's a good journalist, and he's been in a lot of live events in the Puerto Rico area, a lot of the boxing events they've had there, so he's worked with, you know, Top Rank and, you know, other promotional companies that are able to stop in at Puerto Rico for their cars that they have out there. So he's been, you know, working hard in the sport of boxing and other sports as well, especially, like, you know, like I said, boxing and baseball there in Puerto Rico, and also, you know, basketball for a good little while since he started up the CHC movement. So, yeah, he's been a very, very, very good help to me as far as starting up the show.
Right.
But, yeah, on that note, I mean, you know, I'll basically let you go here because I'm gonna pretty much close off the show a little bit early for the overtime. So if you have anything else that you wanted to speak on there, Travis, you can go ahead.
I want to thank you guys for having this show. I want to thank you guys for having me on and giving me a chance to speak about what's going on in my life and what's next. I hope you guys continue to bless fight fans with your knowledge.
Yeah, no doubt, my man. And, you know, as always, I'll be able to, you know, get in contact with you. And, you know, the next time I get over there in the 850 country, Leon County, I will definitely let you know, man, so I can get up with you.
Okay. Well, I'm in Atlanta now, but I will definitely come home.
Yeah, so yeah, let me know when you come on through to the 850, and we'll link up most definitely.
Okay.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you very much. You do the same. Both of you guys.
All right.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, folks. That was Travis Frank Train Walker, heavyweight prospect out there. You know, that's won a couple of the North American championships, you know, over the course of his career there. So we were very thankful to get him on, and we'll be able to get in touch with him later on for his little blog that he has starting up and a couple of programs that he's trying to start up for the youth out there. So we'll be on the lookout for that. You know, basically close out the show here, seeing if the other two callers have something to say. Hey, Greg, you got something to say here?
Yeah, man, just enjoying the boxing game. Love the sport. That's what I live for. And I hope we can pick up more viewers and more listeners.
All right. Hey, Matt, you got something else here to close out with?
I just want to say, for those that are wondering where boxing is, I watch a lot of the ratings, what people are getting. Even the fights that are obviously not the mainstream fights, at least the stuff that Al Penman puts out. I mean, on the low end, you're looking at around 300,000 viewers. So it's not shabby for a single event like that for people that aren't so well known. So boxing is drawing, and again, those are the, you know, some casual fans and mainly boxing fans. So it's drawing people. It's just the issue is, and I know and Freight Train talked about it, it's getting more people to watch it other than just the main event. And I think that's where the media comes in. Boxing, I think, with the way things work for them, there's a little short-sightedness, with all due respect to whatever promoter is listening, there's a little short-sightedness to them, kind of in the same way that baseball has. And the reason that the sport has struggled to grow and adapt to the new culture is because it's not integrating with the way people are today. They need to open it up, get more media in, get the bloggers in, get people in there. You know, Fighters need to open themselves up to more fans and stuff like that. I understand when they do that, like they run into issues like Wilder did, but I think that's part of the problem. I think, like, when you try to get a hold of a fighter that doesn't have a title for 2 years before he gets a title, and you can't get a hold of them, they don't respond to you, you know, that shouldn't happen, you know?
Yeah, that's
any,
not a good look.
Any professional should always get return whatever email, phone calls, or whatever they get.
Right.
You know, and that just hurts. That just hurts the sport overall when you have that short-sightedness. But I think if they fix that, it can get a lot better.
True. No doubt there, man. Good one on that there, Brother Matt. And, you know, I'll just close the show out here. And remember, make sure that you catch the Cold Hard Truth on Sports this Tuesday night at 8:30 with Matt Long, the Executioner, on this channel. And on Wednesday nights at 8:30, we have the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show with Cali Mike, Clausel Mathis, Chi-Town, and special guest, the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. And, of course, every Sunday, 7:30, the Boxing Source Radio Show with me, James Bell. And like I say, at the end of every show, remember, in boxing, the main purpose is to hit and not get hit, not to stand and trade. And on that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good one.